Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The e-hailing industry has revolutionized the way Malaysians travel, particularly in urban areas. But lately, there's been a growing debate as to whether or not there is a need for more government intervention to ensure the welfare of both passengers and drivers. Joining me on the show to discuss this further is transport planner Wan Agilwan Hassan. He was formerly the director of policy and planning for the group operations of the then Land Public Transport Commission, or SPAD. Wan Agil, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Can we begin our conversation with getting your thoughts on the amount of regulation for the e-hailing industry? Is this industry under-regulated or over-regulated?
Well, thank you, Melissa, for inviting me tonight. I think as the broader picture that we should paint for our discussion tonight is that whether or not our e-hailing industry is over-regulated or under-regulated, right? In my personal view and my professional view as well, I think the industry is over-regulated because we need to understand the nature of e-hailing was supposed to be under the spectrum of gig economy. And when we talk about gig economy, this is very much a very dynamic environment. It's not rigid. It shouldn't be rigid. And it should be a space where people come and go to make a supplement income. Back in 2014, 2015, I think when Uber came into the picture, I believe that most of the people joining e-hailing industry just to make a supplemental income. And then the taxi industries are not happy with it, and government decided to come in and start to regulate the industry. But back then, when I was involved in the policy formulation, we thought that it is important for us to make sure that this industry will remain dynamic to allow innovation to happen from time to time. Because their nature, of course, we want them to be coexisted with taxi industry, but we need to understand that the nature of e-hailing industry should be very dynamic, and it shouldn't be like taxi industries.
Okay, well, that's so interesting. Okay, so I am curious about the challenges in regulating this market. One, as you pointed out, it's a nascent market, right? And one that thrives on competition and innovation and the freedom to be fluid and agile. But you've also pointed to the fact that there needs to be regulation to maybe level the playing field just for current industry players like taxis. Talk to me also about the need to regulate for passenger safety, for the safety of passengers and drivers. How do we think about that in terms of regulation? It's not just any gig job; it's a job that has to do with public safety as well.
So I think most importantly, we need to understand that e-hailing service as taxi services serve the need of passengers' mobility. And the most important part is for us to really ensure that the safety of passengers will be taken care of. For that spirit, of course, we believe that there is a need to regulate the industry to make sure that passenger safety is at utmost priority for the service. But again, this is the new supply coming into the market to satisfy certain mobility needs. And back then, because the taxi industry is not really at the expectations are very, very, low, and people are not happy with the industry players. There are so many issues circling the taxi industries. That's when e-hailing becoming very popular. And of course, because it's a passenger service vehicle, that we need to make sure that there's some sort of regulation need to be, introduced into the industry. But again, it still didn't, we still believe that it shouldn't be as rigid as taxi industry, because they didn't do street hailing. They just do e-hailing based on apps and, online applications. But of course, the taxi industries are not happy with the situation. So we took that opportunity to make sure that they can coexist together and create a level playing field, which means that we should also allow whatever we apply in the e-hailing industry should be also applied in the taxi industries. For example, back then we proposed for 6 hours online training instead of going to the driving school instead, and take exam at driving school. So what we told the e-hailing industry is that, look, you can explore the need of having the online 6 hours training. And we also said to the taxi companies and taxi industry, like, you're going to do the same. And you're not going to waste your time going down to the driving school and go through the full day training, which is absurd. And it didn't make any sense at all back then, right? So that's how we think back in 2016, 2017, when we start formulating the policies for e-hailing industry.
Right, okay. So part of that was, part of the thinking was to remove some of the red tape to make that industry more efficient. Can we talk about government intervention in pricing? Because as you said, what is regulated for the taxi industry maybe should be regulated for e-hailing. The Drivers Association, the e-hailing Drivers Association, had mentioned that they wanted the government to intervene regarding regarding fares, this setting a floor price. I think taxis have that, if I'm not mistaken. So where do you stand when it comes to government intervention in what has been dynamic pricing before this?
Well, personally, I think the government should allow some room for the industry player to play with the fares, because unlike rail services and bus services, taxi and e-hailing services, it's an on-demand service where it depends on the public whether or not they want to take that service. If they can't afford the service, there will be other available services like buses and rail services. But again, that's my personal view. My professional view is that government should come in and start regulating the fare, but not too rigid, and allow the room, a certain threshold to allow the room of innovations for the e-hailing operators. I mean, while we know for a fact that taxi industries has been, the fare in taxi industries are regulated heavily, we also believe that there is a need for some regulation to be imposed in e-hailing industries as well. Because the one thing that it's very hard for government to regulate is when it comes to the peak hour services, because their algorithm have certain variables that allow the fare to be in certain ways. For example, if that space or if that area is congested, heavy rain during peak hour, it will be very expensive. And back then, when we start to introduce the policy, we allow them to go at least 2 times from the normal fare, right? And we learned that from the taxi industries, because during peak hour, the taxi didn't really like to take passengers in the city center because the fare is not attractive at all. So allowing them to also be part of the e-hailing environment, which means taxi can also utilize the e-hailing fares, allow them to have that luxury to enjoy higher fares. But again, when it comes to fares, it's always give an impact to elasticity of demand. Higher fare, lower demand. Lower fare, higher demand, right? So I believe that the government should come into a term working together with the industry player to allow them to come up with their own algorithm and certain threshold to allow the fare to be attractive enough to both drivers and passengers, right, so that they have enough supply and demand.
Agil, I think you're in a very unique position because you have the perspective of a transport policy maker from your previous role. You have the perspective of an industry insider in the transport industry currently. And I'm sure you've used e-hailing services before, so you have the perspective of a consumer, of a customer. What is it that you think is missing from... what is it that you think that we as outsiders, myself included, is not aware of when it comes to regulating and policy making and looking after an industry like e-hailing?
Well, the most important part I think that government need to be very careful is when to introduce policies and regulating the industries. Because over-regulations work industry without we realize it. I'm giving you an example. I had a discussion last time about p-hailing, right? They want to regulate certain segment of the p-hailing where the food delivery and parcel delivery will be regulated properly. But if you over-regulating certain industries, you will kill the industry by not allowing them to have innovations to come into the picture, because they need to abide to the law. Let's say I take another example that if the government coming in and being very rigid on fare regulations, for example, then there will be no e-hailing drivers interested enough to be e-hailing drivers, because they are not taxi drivers to start with. These people are just normal drivers trying to make a supplementary income because the government redefined the whole gig economy and pushed a very rigid regulation to e-hailing. We started to realize that e-hailing industry is starting to become a taxi industry. They start make demands. And now government have to deal with e-hailing and taxi industries at the same time, where we were supposed to allow e-hailing industries to be very dynamic and very innovative, and they will not burdening the government to think of what should we do next for the e-hailing drivers. But now it's too late, because the overall regulations that we introduced into the e-hailing industries, which has been rectified by the Ministry of Transport, for example, on the training and PSV requirement, but it's too late, because it's already what, more than 5 years, and they are very complacent and used to the industries.
Do you reckon the damage can be undone in any way?
Well, the damage can be undone, but the industry needs to be restructured in totality, meaning that we need to start looking into e-hailing industry and taxi industries together without, differentiate them into a different segments. Taking into the account leveraging on technology is a must for both industries. Therefore, they should be combined to become one industry. Whether or not we need to start exploring on certain classes to allow some taking street hailing or not, that's another issue. But restructuring is a must.
Okay. Can I ask you very quickly? So you said e-hailing and taxis should be seen, no difference, both treated the same. Should e-hailing and p-hailing, the delivery of food and parcels, should that be treated, regulated the same way?
No, definitely not. You see, the guiding principle is that the p-hailing is not a public service vehicle. The p-hailing is just a services that acquired by certain people to satisfy certain needs, for example, for food delivery or parcel deliveries. Imagine if we take into the same, we bring in the same policy in e-hailing into the p-hailing. Just imagine we have to ask Puspacom to inspect hundreds of thousands of motorcycles on the road. P-hailing, I believe that there is a need for a light touch regulations in terms of the social securities and safety. Apart from that, I don't think we should over-regulate the industry. And it will be better if the government can trust the industry enough and allow for self-regulation to happen. Meaning that government just introduce certain guidelines, take care of the operators at operators level, and let the operator to start having their own self-regulations in the organizations.
Agil, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I appreciate your time. That was One Agil One Hassan, formerly the head of policy and planning at SPAD Group Operations. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about the e-hailing industry. Does it need more government intervention to ensure the welfare of both passengers and drivers? Joining me now is Edwin Goh. He's a researcher at the think tank The Centre under the Safety Nets research pillar. His main research areas are behavioural economics and the digital transformation of work. Edwin, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Appreciate your time. Let's talk about these calls that we're hearing, calls to the government to set a floor price in terms of e-hailing fares. MOT, the Ministry of Transport, has said that they prefer to let market forces determine fares. What do you make of this?
When it comes to setting a floor price for e-hailing rides, I don't think the market forces can ensure a fair pricing mechanisms. And let me explain that here. So in the context of e-hailing, the fare prices are actually set by platform algorithm. Different e-hailing platforms have different configuration to match e-hailers to customer and set fare prices based on unknown parameters. So over here, what we know is that the lack of algorithmic accountability means that only the e-hailing platforms know and have control over how e-hailing jobs are assigned and how prices are set. And when all these are left unregulated, some e-hailing platforms can abuse the algorithmic setting to promote and foster race-to-bottom market behaviors among e-hailers, pushing the fare prices below what it is humanely fair to the e-hailers. These e-hailing platforms and their platform algorithm control how much e-hailers can earn and how they should work, making them almost more of a dependent contractor than a self-employed independent contractor to their studio employers.
Okay, well, let's think it through, Edwin. What will be some of the consequences if government were to intervene, particularly in setting of fares?
So I think off the top of my head, one major consequences that concerns the government as well as the public is that setting a floor price for e-hailing rides can cause the overall e-hailing rides to be more expensive. However, whether or not this policy will translate into more expensive e-hailing rides really depends on how much, how the minimum payment is calculated. Certainly, the way we calculate the floor price cannot be done arbitrarily, and some level of cost pressure is expected. So in my opinion, I think one way we can do this properly is to refer to Seattle's pay up legislation in the United States that was passed just last year. Just to share a little bit more, this law is actually aims to ensure minimum payment, transparency, and flexibility for app-based gig workers like e-hailing drivers. The law establishes a formula to calculate the minimum payment plus expenses with a per minute and a per mile floor rate, covering the adequate monetary costs and the time costs needed to complete a ride or the delivery. On top of that, it also mandates the gig platforms to compensate gig workers a minimum amount of $5 per offer or per task. So looking at all these, this entire Seattle pay-up legislation, I think a similar floor rate calculation mechanism can actually be developed for the Malaysian context.
Right. Edwin, what would you say to those who argue that sounds like a lot of regulation for an industry that was meant to be flexible and agile and innovative? That sounds like almost traditional regulation of traditional industries. Would you care to respond to those who say that sounds like over-regulation?
I think it's still far from how we regulate the conventional taxi industry today. Just to share, currently for taxi drivers, they have a minimum base fare. On top of that, they also earn, guarantee a mileage fee. Although that they don't have any peak hour surplus or high traffic surplus. So if you think about it, when we first introduced the e-hailing regulation, it was said to level the playing field between the e-hailing and the conventional taxi industry. So when we talk about introducing a floor rate, I think we also have to go back to what we decided to introduce e-hailing. So when we look at these two compensation package currently, maybe it's time we introduce floor rates to just balance it out and actually create a fair market competition, as we said when we first introduced it.
Right. You mentioned a little bit earlier about worker welfare in this industry. There have been some efforts I see to improve gig worker welfare, but from your research, from your observations, where do you still see gaps? Where are the necessary policy instruments or interventions that need to come in to address some of these challenges?
Indeed, Melissa, the government has introduced various initiatives for gig workers' welfare in the last few years in the form of upskilling or reskilling programs, self-employed employment injury scheme, and ISARAN retirement savings schemes. But since most of them are voluntary, it means that the actual social protection coverage for gig workers, especially for those who work full-time or more, than their, like, just like their counterparts in formal employment. And one major policy gap underlying their vulnerabilities at work that is often overlooked by policymakers is really the unclear gig worker classification, which defines their rights, welfare, and the corresponding gig platform obligations.
Okay, so when we think about the welfare of gig workers, Edwin, what role can the workers themselves play, you know, associations, unions, all of that? How can they push for more or take the onus in terms of pushing for more for their own rights and protections?
Are seeing more and more associations and organizations made up of different gig worker segments like E-Hailing Coalition and Penghanta, which have come forth to advocate for their rights and welfare. So personally, I think their advocacy strategy should be twofold. First, it should focus on demanding a place in relevant legislative committees so that they can support the policy developments and make sure that it is relevant to them. Second, to that, they need to advocate for better education, not only among policymakers, as well as with the public, to make sure to make their voices heard with regards to their preferences for the autonomy and flexibility of gig work, so that at the end of the day, any policy development can be inclusive of their needs.
Right. Edwin, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. That's researcher Edwin Go from The Centre, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.